The other thing that wasn't very friendly, and we got to get into, is the Florida Panthers last night. They ended up losing 6-3 to the Hurricanes, who are now 4-0 on the season. Hurricanes obviously playing very good hockey. And listen, one fan said to me yesterday, well, you know, they ended strong with the last 40 minutes. And I said, look, we're past the moral victories now. And it's time to hold the Panthers to a higher standard. It's time to hold the young guys to an extremely higher standard. Okay? Barkov and company, guys, enough's enough. Because here's what's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you the narrative that's going to develop if they come up short this year and they don't live up to expectations, which expectations are, you're a playoff team. And not talking about just barely making the playoffs. You should be fighting for the playoff spot and climbing into the playoffs second round. You've got that kind of talent, that kind of goaltender, and certainly that kind of coach. So I love the Panthers, man. The owners have done everything they can possibly do. There is one area that you can question, and that's the defense in front of the goalie. Because there are a couple of those goals yesterday that weren't necessarily Bob's fault. But the defense in front of him has got to get exceptional. And you cannot go down 5-0 at home. You cannot have a 5-on-3 and a 2-man advantage and not score. And then when it's over, 20-something seconds later, I don't know what it was, 24, 27 seconds later, you end up giving up a goal. These are the things that went on yesterday that were just unacceptable for the Panthers. I don't care that they outplayed them the final 40 minutes. That means nothing. We're not talking about a bunch of young guys that are learning. That's done already. Trocheck's done learning. Barkov's done learning. They're all done learning. They now need to step up. This is the narrative that's going to develop. Mark my words on this. They paid them too early. They got their money, and they never earned it. That's what they're going to say. Doesn't matter what stats they put up, because you know Trocheck's a badass. You know Barkov's one of the best players in the league. But in the end, if you can't lead your team to big victories, if you can't lead your team to the playoffs and make an impact in the playoffs, then they're going to say you're paying all these guys for nothing because they're not big-time players. They're just getting stats. I don't think Barkov wants that label. He doesn't deserve it. Certainly Trocheck doesn't deserve it either. Those guys lay their hearts on the line every night. But I'm sorry. This is what's going to happen. I'm telling you ahead of time. I'm telling you what's going to develop because I know I've been at this for a long time. And all those guys have security for years. Because the ownership group in the front office believed in them early on and got them the money because they didn't want to then wait till they got close to free agency because then the price would jack up even more. So they are trying to get a bargain ahead of time. It was all smart. On their part, it was smart. It was foresight. But now those players need to reward them by absolutely selling out night in and night out. You need to be great practically every night. The Eastern Conference is loaded. It's going to be competitive every single night. What? I got to pull it up. What is it? Maybe Ottawa or something? There's only like a couple of really crappy teams in the Eastern Conference. Outside of that, you're going to end up, really playing your ass off every night for any win. And that team came in 3-0. So it wasn't like something that, oh, this is a surprise. No, they've been kicking ass. They're playing better than you. and you go down 5-0 at home, and then the people that don't follow hockey or the casual fan, you know what they're saying, right? After last night, same old Panthers. The win against Tampa meant nothing to people because you lost to Tampa. And then now you got your ass kicked by Montreal. I'm sorry, by Carolina. So this is why you got to do better than this, man. You can't have these kind of nights anymore where you just don't show up and then you bury yourself and then you got to kill yourself to come back and play. I don't care. The last 40 minutes meant nothing to me because of what you did in the first period. And I get it. The Coach Q must have ripped them an ass, and they played hard. But why didn't you start with the same kind of desperation?
I think it was 4-0 in the first 12 minutes.
I know.
Okay. What? Let me ask you this. You know, we have infamously every year started slow and right. dug a hole, and then we go on this tear, right. and we're there. There's 15, 20 left, and then we do this fall off, Peter, don't follow through with where we've gone and risen to, and we end up being out of the playoffs by right. a couple games, a couple points, blah, blah. This looks like the
broken
same.
Story.
And they're, like
broken
you said,
record.
With the amount of talent we have, right. there's absolutely no reason for starting slow.
We're done already. We're done. Barkov and company, you know, if they are falling short, they fairly can get ripped now. Okay? And what I love about hockey, everything I told you, Doug Cifu saying it right now. Vinny Viola saying it right now. Coach Quinville saying it right now. The players are saying it. That's the one thing I do love about that sport compared to, like, in football. You see what's going on and they see it too, but then they'll lie to your face like, no, you're wrong, that's not it, and all that until it's so obvious that then, oh, okay. But in hockey, they're so brutally honest with themselves. That's why I love, you know, dealing with hockey people, because they're the first ones to tell you, no, this was unacceptable. There's not a person last night in that building with the Panthers that does not feel the same way I do right now. Not one of them. Not one of them is looking at themselves in the mirror and lying to themselves, going, no, that was a good effort. Moral victories are done already for the Panthers. This young team is way past the moral victories now. Last night was a terrible night. A terrible game, a terrible performance, an unacceptable performance by the Panthers. That's the way it's got to be looked at. That's the way it needs to be written. They need to get ripped. Okay? Players need to get ripped thoroughly for all of this. They got to change, man. Unfortunately, there isn't the kind of passion for hockey in this town. We're the only show that's going to talk hockey on a consistent basis, okay? There really isn't another show in town. They're not. They're going to wait till they're actually playing well, and then they'll mention them and all that. But we will actually bring people on, have interviews, talk about it, talk a segment about what happened last night. People will just say it in passing in other shows. Well, they lost and move on and all of that. But the season's too important to overlook it. This season's way too important to not give it the value that it deserves, because this is a team that should be doing much better. And I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know if it's going to take, you know, a Scott Mellenby hitting a rat up against a wall and then it kind of lights it all up. But they're going to need some kind of watershed moment. I don't know if it's Bobrovsky throwing his skates and breaking sticks and screaming at people. I don't know what kind of leader he is. I have no idea. I don't know if Barkov is an ass kicker in the locker room. I don't know if Vinny Trocheck can do the same thing. I'm not sure. I don't know if Yandel If Keith Yandel can rattle some cages in that locker room. I know Quinville's going to do it, but I think somebody in that locker room kind of needs to check people and demand more. That's one of the things why I think a lot of us, while they have enough offense, and I don't know if Mike Hoffman's that guy, but that's kind of where you need your sniper, the guy that's clearly better than anybody else in the team, to stand up and get in people's faces like, hey, what the F are you doing? Huh? Because we can't allow this 5-0 crap anymore. Somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to turn it around. Somebody's got to say, yo, we got to come out every night and play like it's a playoff game.
Got to have a sense of urgency.
Yeah, because you cannot sit there and do what you've done year in and year out and bury yourself and then end up with nothing. That makes no sense, that you bury yourself and now you've got to try to kill yourself. And desperation sets in only because you're 20 points out from the final playoff spot. And I got to tell you something. Let me lay this right down for the Florida Panthers organization, for Coach Quinville and the players. The eighth spot is not acceptable. You had a bad season if you're in the eighth spot. Just want you to know that. The eighth spot's not even enough. I need you to do better than that. You're better than that. You've been the eighth spot the last couple of years, and you failed to be the eighth spot. You brought a Hall of Fame goaltender and coach in. I expect you to be in the middle of the pack. Okay? Top five. Easy. So, get your crap straightened out. Get up there. Play with the Carolinas. Play with the Tampas. Play with Washington. Play with Boston. I need you up there, man.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I need you up there. You got to bring it.
Defense has got to improve immensely.
And obviously the offense has got to improve early on, too. Because, man, you could...
Look, the first 12, I was in. I'm watching Hart, blah. Of course, I got interest in the Tampa Astro game. We had two really good chances. Great saves.
5-on-3.
Okay, yeah. And, I mean, you come away with nothing.
There, dude.
Yeah, we had to, we should have been two. We should have had two in the... But, man, after 12 minutes, it was 40. I'm like, I'll be honest. I was just half, like, you know, going and checking. And five.
And by the way, I was
five
really...
5-1. You know, then it was...
And Quinville's Quinville. I don't need to, you know, the guy's a badass. I don't need to say anything about it. But I love that he benched the starter and give him those two periods off and let the youngster get some. That was perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
Why torture him for two more periods and you're going to wear him out all year?
You have off nights. I mean, that does happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That puck takes funny bounces. Funny, you know, it hits the pole and should bounce in and it bounces. You know, it's hockey. There are weird things. And yeah, there's no reason to leave that guy in there and get beaten down. It's too early in the season.
Friday, they're in Buffalo. Saturday, they're at the New York Islanders. Monday, they're at the New Jersey Devils. So a nice little three-game stretch here. Let's see how they handle the road in three straight games, and let's see if they can go out there and pick up a victory, pick up a couple of victories there, and maybe so we can start to feel a little better about this start. A crappy road trip. Again, this is what I feel bad for the organization, because you're trying to build some momentum. You're trying to sell hockey to this town. But until you actually sell consistency, the town's not going to buy it. You know, and I don't blame South Florida. I don't. The Panthers have not done their part yet. They have to do their part. The owners already, and they spent everything they can. Now, these players and coaches, they've got to put it together.
Yeah,
now.
It's on those guys in the locker room.
That's it.
Bottom line.
That's it. I can't blame Viola and Sifu for what happened last night. I'm blaming everybody in that locker room and the coaching staff.
Look, we need a minimum of 2 wins and get points on all 3 of these games, okay?
Yeah.
We need at least 1 point.
It would be nice.
We need 2 wins and at least a point in the other game. That would be a good road trip.
At least you can start feeling better about the direction that the Panthers are going in, because what you saw last night, there is no way in hell that you're going to feel good about it. You're in fact going to say, oh no, this is the same old Panthers. This is what's happening. That's what people are saying all over the place. That's how they feel. And you gotta erase that kind of feeling out there. Okay? You have to. Last night, the Heat, they beat San Antonio 107-89. I might as well talk about the good before I get to the bad, right? In the process. Now, look, the NBA regular season barely means anything. Okay? So I'm not going to get crazy about the preseason. But I am going to say this, because I don't want it to sound like I'm going overboard on anything, because I don't want to put a ton of expectations on Tyler Hero. But, man, every time I look at that kid and every time I see him, it's like, that looks like a good pick by the Heat. Okay? I mean, think about it. Riley's been here for 25 years or something. They've drafted one star. One star. You've had a quarter century of drafts. One star. That's the only thing you've been able to unearth from the draft. You've gotten other players that have helped out in the draft. I get it, okay? I get it. Mario Chalmers helped out. Justice Winslow's been decent. Bam Adebayo's been decent. Rasul Butler hung out in the league for a while. Some draft picks have done a nice job overall, okay? I mean, we're still holding out hope here that Winslow and Bam can be something, because if they're not, it's not going to be a great season. It's just going to be a half-decent season, which is really not what the Heat is all about. You know, once you've been winning championships, you have set a different standard for your team. You know, this season, to get back to the playoffs and be a 7 or 8 seed, that's exciting if you're in Sacramento. That's exciting if you're in Phoenix. In Miami, with the Heat, with Mickey, with Pat, a 7 or 8 seed, it's not sexy.
It's okay, because we haven't made the playoffs the last couple, so it's okay.
Big deal. Nothing out of this world. It doesn't really get me, you know, rocking and excited about anything whatsoever. But I will say,
we're used to being in the playoffs.
All right.
We always are in the playoffs.
And going deep into the playoffs. Now, I will say this. Tyler yesterday, 24 minutes, 7 of 13, 2 of 5 from three-point range. I love the moxie he plays with. I love the fact that he has a high IQ. He knows how to pass. He knows how to use his body so he can get a shot off. He's very good at spacing himself between the defender, his body, and the shot. And I'm impressed that a kid this young is that savvy out there on the court. Now, I expect a lot out of Jimmy Butler. I expect production out of Bam and Winslow, but I don't know if they're ready to take that step where they're nearly all-stars or really, really good players. I don't know that yet. I'm hoping. I'm praying. Because if you get Bam to take it to another level and Justice, now you have an opportunity to not be a 7 or 8 seed. Now you can climb a little higher. I hear people talk about 3, 4, and 5. I don't even think they've got a shot at 5. But the only way they have a shot at 5 and 4 is if one of those other guys steps up and becomes a stud night in and night out with Jimmy. If that doesn't happen, I don't see it. Now, Tyler's a guy, I don't know what I should do here as a fan. How much expectations? I'm kind of restraining myself on the side of expectations for Tyler. I'm kind of like more of, let me just enjoy the moment. Let me just enjoy his development. Because he's must-see TV for me. Every time he's on, I want to see what Tyler Herro's doing because I'm a fan of Summer League. Again, I'm a draft fan, right, in the NFL. So why wouldn't I be the same for the NBA? I'm intrigued by guys. I want to see what they've got, you know, when they're young. Let's see what you got, man. Let's see if you can develop into something and give them a chance. So here's Tyler Herro impressing all of us in Summer League. And I thought it was really, really cool. And last night, again, another impressive outing. The other young kid, what was Silva? He had 16 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks in 14 minutes. Again, not going to get crazy. It's preseason. But here's the thing I do with the Heat that maybe you can't do with all NBA teams. There was a Udonis Haslem, right? They did find him off the scrap heap. So they may find another one of those kind of guys. You never know. And that's where I give the Heat the benefit of the doubt in that sense. Unfortunately, as much as I love Riley, I'll be the first guy to tell you he has been terrible the last couple years. His decisions on signing these contracts and trading away all these first-rounders, he has put his team in a terrible position. They're not even close to being a title contender. I don't know if by clearing out space next year again, where they will be able to add another star. It would be nice. I know that's the plan. I hope it's not CP3, because that is not going to get you anywhere whatsoever. But that's where I look at, you know, the situation with the Heat, and I say, you know, there's something there. But I need to see more to be excited about a deep run or a higher playoff standing this year. Because I know what I'm going to get from Jimmy. I'm excited to see what I'm going to get from Tyler Herro. But it's really all about Bam and Winslow. Those are the guys that I really need to see them take that next step. Because if they don't, then, yeah, we'll have a decent season. But there won't be anything great about it. And I can't tell you that I'm going to sit back and say, oh, this was a memorable season for the Miami Heat. I just can't say that.
We saw a little Monday Night Football action yesterday as the Niners absolutely dominated the Cleveland Browns last night, 31-3. That was one of those ugly performances, and Cleveland drops to 2-3. The Niners are now one of two teams that are undefeated in this league. San Francisco now at 4-0, and then you've got the Patriots at 5-0. I don't think a lot of people pick the Niners to be 4-0. Okay, That's one of those where I would have to say, yeah, no, we didn't do that. All right. Now, maybe some of us thought they were going to be pretty decent. You know, if Garoppolo comes back healthy. Richard Sherman, of course, has his point of view after the game.
You don't worry about it. You want idiots to sound like idiots, but you want them to hold their position the whole year. Like, don't flip-flop with us. Like if you said we weren't going to make it, you said we were some way early on, just stick with that position. Hold it. Don't try to give us credit now. Don't try to give us credit now. Just stick. If you had us ranked 25, keep us ranked 25. If you had us going home early, if you had us going 3-3 and whatever, have us going 3-3 and whatever. You know what I mean? At least stick by your word, because I want you to sound like an idiot at the end.
You got to love it, man. I mean, listen, this is the way you stay motivated if you're a player. And why not? You look at that team, Boza last night. Joey Boza was an absolute beast. He was terrorizing them, okay? And so you look at Nick Boza, by the way. I'm sorry, Joey's in with the Chargers. I get my Bozas mixed up, man. I still feel for our Boza, because the dad would have been a beast, a lot of people label John Bose's career here as a bust. And, yeah, it didn't work out because he was a first-round pick. But from everybody that was playing with him and practicing with him, he was a dominant player. It was just he had the worst luck in the world with the injuries, and it derailed his career. But you can tell that's where his sons get it from. And his sons also have their share of injuries, too. It's, you know, that's the shame about the Boza family, that they had to deal with injuries. But the two youngins are, those kids are awesome. And yesterday, Nick Boza was just a terrorizer. And they've got a nice front there. They've got a nice defense. The offense, I mean, Breida was, how about Breida to open up the game? My man had the Jets going on. Holy moly. That was impressive. I got to give Breida a lot of credit there. That was absolute studly what he was able to do yesterday. He had 114 yards, had that 83-yard touchdown run, had the catch also where he was kind of diving in the end zone too. He was all over the place. He had a hell of a day. Now, the flip side is, while the Niners are enjoying their 4-0 status, their undefeated status now, it's all about the Browns now. What's going on with the Browns? They're 2-3. 2-3 is still pretty good for the Browns, okay? All right. Now, there were more expectations for the Browns, but that's our fault because we hyped them up, right? It's one of those things like the other day when I was doing a show on Sirius, a caller asked me, he was a Giants guy, well, what do you think about Daniel Jones? And I said, well, I'll tell you next year. Because that's what I usually say about young guys. I wait till their second year of success to see who they are, because they get film on you and they figure you out in this league. And then you struggle. And so now you look at Baker, and he's not the same player he was last year when he was a rookie breaking records. Because now they've kind of figured you out. They know what you like. They know what your tendencies are. They know where you like to roll out to. They know what your limitations are, if you have any. See, a guy like Patrick Mahomes, you saw that the other night. That guy is impossible to stop almost. Why? Because he's so gifted that he can move around. Baker doesn't have a tenth of the athleticism of Pat Mahomes. That's why he can't do some of those things. It takes an athlete, not just a quarterback, but an athletic quarterback to do the things that Pat Mahomes does. And Baker doesn't have that. He doesn't have the hell, he can't get away from a cop. Okay? Cop caught him. So that's all you need to know back in the day. And Baker, and that's the thing about this Browns team. Not only did everybody overhype them, we all overhyped them, but then they kind of hyped themselves, right, with Odell and Jarvis talking, and obviously no bigger mouth on that team than Baker Mayfield. And eventually that Odell mouth is going to start getting louder and louder as he doesn't get passes, because that's his nature. He's already got into fights, you know. And yesterday there was, I remember he had a play, the defender made a nice play on him, and one of the guys, like, he kind of got, you know, up in the face of Odell, and Odell was, like, kind of tapping his head, like, yeah, yeah, good play on you. Odell kind of was conscious of what had just recently happened to him, because obviously it's Odell. He's an idiot. It is what it is. But that's the thing that you also worry about with this team. They're not very disciplined. Freddie Kitchens, as a young coach, that was one of the questions, is when things go awry, will he be able to keep people in line? Because he doesn't have experience doing this. And this is not a team that has experience of ups and downs. This is not a team that can rely on winning as their foundation, because it does not exist. So all of this becomes one hell of a challenge for the Cleveland Browns. So this is where you start to look at it, and we're going to – and then you got an owner in Haslam who's a maniac. And will he stick with Freddie Kitchens is the question. right? Does he give him an opportunity to kind of grow into this position? See, you cannot hire a young head coach, a guy that's never been a head coach, and then you cannot fire him right away. You got to give him an opportunity to learn. That's what you do as an owner, as a general manager. You sit back and you watch, okay, is my head coach learning from prior situations? But you've got to let them come up and develop, and then you move on. And then you hope he corrects those issues. And so now you're going to find out, can Freddie Kitchens coach? Can he manage egos? Does he know who he has to massage, who he has to kick in the ass, who he has to get in their face? Does he know all of those things? Does he know how to get the max out of these guys? Can he get them to correct mistakes from 1 week to another? And right now, you know, the lack of discipline that's out there tells me that so far he's not doing that. That's why I've mentioned a couple times now that it's come up that the Dolphins have actually been one of the, you know, least penalized teams in the NFL. Third in the NFL by yards. Actually, that's not true. I got to look in this week here. But third going into this past week. I got to look where they're at now. They didn't play this week, so they're not going to really be moving down much because they didn't get any yards. But my point is, you're seeing some level of discipline from a young team, a really young team, a really inexperienced team. You're actually seeing gradual improvement. That's another thing that's going on. So that's where you want to see the same thing with the Browns. You don't want to see them show up 1 week and then lay an egg the following week. You don't want to see the ups and downs. And maybe a little more downs than ups because you're 2-3 right now, right? And you don't want this to continue. And it doesn't get any easier for the Browns either. So they've got to figure all of this out because it starts mounting. The questions, the expectations, the hype, all of that starts mounting. And then they start asking you, Baker, how come you're not playing like last year? Odell, how come you're not getting the amount of catches or yards that you should be as an explosive player in this league? All of these things are going to happen to them. Hey, how come the defense is not stout and not stepping up and it gave up 31 points and opened up the game with an 83-yard touchdown run right up the gut against the defense? And then the defense has got to be humming, 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 humming. So they got Seattle coming up now, the Browns. It's home at least, but still. Again, I just told you about Patrick Mahomes and athleticism and playmaking. Well, Russell Wilson is the man when it comes to that. So they've got Seattle, they've got a bye week, and then they go to New England. Okay? And even after that, they go to Denver. That's not an easy game for them. Hell, Denver just kind of bounced back this week. So you never know. Maybe is Denver getting a little better? I don't know. We'll see. Now, on the flip side, the San Francisco 49ers have got to be feeling pretty damn good about themselves at 4-0. As long as Garoppolo runs out of bounds and doesn't take on tacklers, they should be just fine. But Shanahan and the boys, and I'll tell you this, I thought Lynch, you know, that was one of those questionable hires. It's like, they're getting a former player because they saw him on television and all that. And John Lynch has done a really good job. He has surprised me because that was one of those hires that I got to admit, I questioned. So hats off to the Niners. They've got the Rams coming up this week. That's going to be a lot of fun because the way they're playing, and the Rams – now, you know, they've had their share of ups and downs already in this season, but obviously they're a really good team. So it's going to be nice to see where San Francisco's at. You know, you've beaten Tampa Bay, who's very inconsistent. You've beaten Cincinnati, who's bad. You've beaten Pittsburgh, who's very inconsistent. And you've beaten Cleveland, that's very inconsistent. So you don't have a lot of good teams on your schedule. Now the Rams are good. Then they get a break and they go to Washington. So they should be able to wax Washington. That'll be interesting. But nice start for the Niners. Number one red zone defense in the NFL. Impressive stuff. You got to tip your hat to what's going on there. And all the storylines in there, right? You got Boza doing planting the flag because Baker Mayfield did it to him when his team played Ohio State. So he wanted to, you know, get a little revenge. So that's what he ends up doing. Gotta love that. Now, here, Baker Mayfield has got to learn also how to be a professional. You know, you're grabbing your crotch in college. You're planting the flag. You're drunk running away from a cop who catches you. You know, all those things. Okay, you did stuff in college that maybe you agree or disagree with, right? We're all young. We all screw up. We all say things we regret. We all do things that we regret. We're all human beings, okay? But you're now in the NFL, kid. Learn to respect. And Richard Sherman, you know, who had his share of fun in this game with turnovers, he did not like the fact that before the game, Baker Mayfield chose not to shake hands. And that is ridiculous, okay? MMA fighters knock the crap out of each other, and then they go hug each other after the fight. Boxers, they touch gloves right before the fight out of respect. It's normal, man. Tennis players, they have a 3 or 5 set brutal match. When it's all said and done at the end, they congratulate each other, they hug each other, they whatever, shake hands, whatever it is they do, because there's different things that they do at the net. But the bottom line is there is a level of respect, because there has to be a level of professionalism. And look, we all do stupid things when we're young. Hell, we do some stupid things as we get older. But my point to Baker Mayfield would be, kid, grow up. Okay, you're a pro now. Richard Sherman is a guy that could be headed to the Hall of Fame. He's giving you his hand before the game. Shake his hand. Wish him the best. Be professional, man. I mean, let's go. Grow up. I got to tell you something. There's a part of me that I kind of like Baker, even though I'm the guy that didn't believe in him coming into as a player. But as a dude with some moxie, I kind of like it. I don't mind some of the stuff he did in college. Okay, you're a kid, whatever, you're having fun, you go a little overboard, that's fine, but you got to grow up in the NFL, man. And you're going to be disliked by everybody, and they're going to want to do a little extra to you in a game. I don't think you need that. I don't think you need to motivate Richard Sherman. I don't think you need to motivate, you know, Boza. I don't think you need to be pissing people off. I'm actually enjoying Baker's commercials. But my brother, let's go. Be smart. Handle things the right way. So Richard Sherman says after the game, what's amazing and annoying was him not shaking hands. It's ridiculous. We're all trying to get psyched up, but shaking hands with your opponent, that's NFL etiquette. And when you push and when you pull Bush League stuff, that's disrespectful to the game. And believe me, that's going to get us fired up. Respect the game, Sherman says. You can have rivals, but pay your respects in that moment, especially when you're young. He hasn't earned anything in this league. How many games has he won? He's acting like he's the MVP last year. If Patrick Mahomes did that, it would be one thing, but he would never do that because he has too much respect for the game. And when you see a guy who doesn't, you humble him every chance you get because eventually he will have respect for the league or he'll be out of it. Okay? And then he went on to talk about, remember when when Baker takes a shot at Daniel Jones and why he was picked so high, and which is, again, that's not your place, dude. Worry about yourself. Don't be picking on another player in his draft status. And he goes, there's no reason for him to say and do those things, especially given how little he's accomplished, Sherman said. That's where he's going to have to grow up. He might get there, but he has a long way to go. And I agree with Sherman. This kid has got a long way to go. He's got to stop acting like a punk. I mean, and Richard Sherman's example of Pat Mahomes, what a great example that is. Right? Because I'm a Dolphins fan. All right? I don't need to like any quarterback in this league unless he wears the aqua and orange. But I got to say, I like Pat Mahomes. He's one of those guys I respect, I like, I admire, I want to watch, because Sherman's right. Not only is he a fantastic player, but he looks like a fantastic young man, handles all this stuff great. You know what? I always tell you guys all the time that I am embarrassed to be in the same planet with Tim Tebow and Russell Wilson, because I could never be that great of a human being, that great of a man, because those guys to me are like, they're as perfect as a human being could possibly be. We're all defective. Every single one of us. Okay? Not one of us is perfect. But when I look at those two cats, I'm like, damn, dude. That's the Cal Ripken. You know, that's the Tony Gwynn. That's the Walter Payton. You know, they're certain guys. They're just certain guys that they're just, I don't know how that, I can't explain it. They're just magical in everything, not just players, human beings, leaders, just everything about them. And Pat Mahomes is starting to rub me like he's that guy. You know? And so when they tell you Tony Gwynn, you got to admire him. When they tell you Cal Ripken, please. Right? Jackie Robinson. You know, there are just certain people that they've faced all kinds of things in life and people questioning them and adversities, and somehow or another they're able to rise above it all, where you and I cannot do that. Sometimes we'll give in. Sometimes the emotions will get the best of us. But Baker Mayfield, you just got, dude, it just gets to a point where, are you just a jerk? And Sherman's right. He's got a lot to learn. Maybe he'll get there, but he's got a ton to learn. Hopefully, he'll do that.